We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Will the Bruins ever lose? No, they won't if they play at home.
I feel like you're creating a monster.
What's this? No.
I think we did this last week. I think you got about 2.5 minutes in before you actually ran out of material.
It's the ability to not. I wouldn't call it freestyle rapping ability. It's just the My best friend Nelson Martinez used to re-ride in the car all the time, and he would just rib me by doing that. A song would come on, and he would retrofit it to rip on me, and everybody in the car would be laughing and all that stuff. So I think that kind of sits in my head a little bit of the whole.
You're scarred, you would say.
I guess, because he is among probably maybe five people on Earth. Maybe I'm up to 10 now. Where it's like, his words might affect me or make me think about something.
Because you care about him.
Well, no, because I have one feeling and only certain people know about it. And on the whole, I'm normally...
On the whole, I'm normally
just, whatever. Like, the idle thoughts of other people don't really bother me, but certain ones do. But that always stuck in my brain, and it was always a fun game to do because, like, when my boys met him, they'd be like, hey, can we take a ride? I was like, why? He'd be like, we want Nelson to mess with you. And they'd be like, you want to ride around and just make up songs? But the Bruins keep winning 4-0 over San Jose. This is insane. Through 46 games, the Bruins have a 14-point lead right now in the Atlantic Division. That is just crazy when you think about it. They're on pace for 66 wins, which would be an NHL record. And last night, Linus Ullmark, originally it was thought that he was the fastest goalie to get to 25 wins in the history of the NHL. And then NHL PR put out a graphic saying that basically he was the second fastest goalie to be able to get to 25 wins in a season. Only the immortal, as you Twitchers can see, Tiny Thompson did it in 29 games during the 1929-30 season. Linus Ullmark, 30 games this year to get to 25 wins. He passed Eddie Johnston of the Bruins from the 70-71 team. What's really amazing, Fourier, is that three complete different generations of Boston Bruins goalies are 1, 2, and 3 on that list.
It really is absurd. I don't know how many different ways you can just, I guess, appreciate them or like...
running out of adjectives?
I don't have any more. So yesterday's game was, different in a way because they had a bunch of defensemen not just getting goals, but making unbelievable moves to get those goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something you would see, Marchand do or Bergeron do or Pastrnak, of course, just nifty with the stick back and forth, putting people like just in their place, like passing to themselves. Like, so what is this? So Lindholm gets the first one. And you're like, wow, that was real impressive. So it's 1-0. And it sure as hell Charlie McAvoy decides, you know what? I can do better. I can do anything you do better. So he does. His is even better than Lindholm's. And just like listening to those guys just talk about how scoring goals is fun. It's like you would sit there and go, wow, they're putting such an unbelievable emphasis on these guys. And you could see it's like it doesn't even matter. Hell, Pasternak didn't get his goal until the third period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, by then it was pretty much over with. Like I said it last week, if they score first, if they get that first goal, you're screwed. Can you imagine like the mental, like, you know, just defeat that you feel
when they get
the first goal?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, what are they? We need a lead.
If you're on
we can't play from behind against this team.
If you're on the opposing team, you know you can't get down. And to your point, here's Charlie McAvoy talking about scoring.
Well, are you kidding? Scoring goals is the funnest thing in the game, right? Like, it takes you back to when you were mini-mite. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 25, scoring goals is fun. So it's nice to see everybody scoring goals, and you see that, you know, that joy.
Well, the fact that the defensemen are comfortable enough to be able to get involved offensively and not worried that some coach is going to yell at them and things like that, it's made a massive difference in this team. That end, San Jose ain't great. We know that when the Bruins went out there, what was it, a week or a week and a half ago, they ended up, San Jose was one of the teams that lied in their wake when they went on that West Coast trip. Now, there is a quick update on Jake DeBrusk. Jim Montgomery told the assembled Bruins media yesterday that he believes Jake DeBrusk will begin skating today. Of course, he's coming back from the broken leg. I did see a report or two, and I don't know if it was a straight report for you. It was more speculation that DeBrusk might be able to make it back before the All-Star break. Listen, at this point, make sure the guy is right. No need to be tricky with this. No need to rush him back into the lineup. It's good that he's going to be back out there skating. But I think given the success of this team, there will be guys when they are dinged who are going to want to rush to get back because they're missing out on the fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not stamping Jake DeBrusk as a true, you know, top line winger. However, given his importance to this team, the slotting of everybody else, take their time with Jake DeBrusk in terms of getting him back.
Yeah, discretion is the better part of valor. That's what I would like to kind of chalk it up
like
to.
That
it
phrase.
Just doesn't really. I mean, it's amazing that he's already skating, right? It's like he's already kind of in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rush. Think about it this way. So right now it's 78 points. So you got Montreal tomorrow at 43 points. 35 points better than what used to be an unbelievable matchup, an unbelievable rivalry. It's not even, like, it may not even be worth your energy to even pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
The next best team, as far as points go, would be, who would it be? Would it be, yeah, Carolina at 66, Dallas at 63.
Toronto in your division, right? Are they at 64 or something like that? I'm just in terms
of
the
Toronto
Atlantic 60. Division?
Yeah, Toronto 63. Yeah, actually, one of the best teams actually in all of hockey is actually second in your division. So there's really no threat. There isn't any threat. The thing that I worry about is, I think, is just complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you got to play in this team. So you would think that some team, not Montreal, would kind of steal one from them. You know what? We kind of want to take a break. And you felt like that was Seattle like a couple weeks ago, where Seattle comes in here and they just, you know, they're on a heater and they come in and they beat you up a little bit. But you're mentally, physically weak. You just beat down. I just don't know how it ends, but complacency could be the only thing. Injuries, but even injuries, like, he's going to be back after the
So the
next 3 weeks, you won't see the Bruins for the next 3 weeks here in Boston. They got a bunch of, five road games, the All-Star break. And then by then, what are you going to be in the next 3 weeks?
Then it's trade deadline, ramp up for the playoffs.
Just
really.
How do I manage the minutes? You got two great goalies. It doesn't matter. You, one of those guys getting mentally fatigued. So what? Like, play the other guy. Like, to me, it doesn't even matter. It, the storylines, I don't know how the story, you know what the storyline's going to go to? Awards. Awards season.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
getting the awards? Who's getting this? Who's getting that? You know, but I just don't see, you know, anybody, you know, keeping up with this team.
Remember, All-Star Game, first weekend of February, first weekend of March is when the NHL trade deadline hits. So You do still have a while to be able to address any extra injury issues that pop up in the trade market. Hey, don't forget, ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. And, of course, you can get us anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. And Celtics were able to survive on Saturday night, Fourier in Toronto, 106-104. Marcus Smart got dinged up in that game. Mm-hmm. Robert Williams got dinged up in that game. But Grant Williams, one of the guys off the bench who did a great job in that one. I think it was a career high in points. But this is Joe Mazzulla on how big Grant Williams was Saturday against Toronto.
He was great tonight, man. Like, he was the trigger for us, you know. Him, Al, Rob, those bigs, they trigger the offense for us because, you know, they're the ones that notice the coverage solution and they're the ones that get us to the next action. And so Grant was huge tonight in our coverage solution and our trigger to get to the next read and next action. And he did a great job for us.
A career-high 25 for Grant Williams. And it's interesting, Christian, to hear Joe Mazzulla talk about, you know, getting us into our offense and getting us into certain sets and becoming a part of the answer and all that kind of stuff. It was really a night for the Celtics bench to shine. And I know you've been all over Malcolm Brogdon, but again, a lot of nights, Grant Williams is going to be one of those dudes coming off the bench. I think the real takeaway is this bench, light years different than it was last year, and they don't even have Gallinari yet.
It is amazing. And who even cares at this point in time? If he comes back and he's actually able to contribute, like, chalk it up as a plus. I know, but it's like when you talk about bench points. So Saturday, the Celtics bench outscored Toronto 62-14. 62. Think about that. Let's say you're a starter for Toronto and you're doing your part and you're padding the lead and you're like making it really challenging. Sure as hell, sub, here goes the horn. And then they just completely, these are starter numbers. 23 for Brogdon, 25 for Grant Williams. Little Peyton Pritchard gives you 12 points, hit an unbelievable three-pointer late with like less than a minute left in the game to actually almost like really confirm it. And then a good old wise old Al Horford gives you a late steal, then he actually seals the game. So, yep. Listen, even when they should lose, they don't. They don't. Just somebody picks up the slack. It's amazing. And it is crazy to think that the two teams that are relevant right now in this city, they're both the best at what they do. The Celtics are the best team in the NBA, and the Bruins are easily the best team in the National Hockey League.
It's pretty
easily.
Yeah, like you said, the numbers. Now, tonight, the Celtics will be without a couple of guys. I think Marcus Smart is out. I know Billy's got it coming up in the in trending. But it looks like Malcolm Brogdon is out for personal reasons. And Robert Williams, listen, Robert Williams, the left knee management, I had him penciled in for 50. So I know he's going to be in and out of the lineup. It's can you lose Smart and getting these guys right. And I know that it stinks to say it. It really does. But just make sure these dudes are upright for the postseason. Now, and I'm not saying that it's done and that the number one seed is salted away and locked up. But now you got to be mindful of balancing winning games, but also making sure that your guys are upright come playoff time. And the difference between the Celtics bench this year and last year, it's light years different to the point to where Peyton Pritchard's probably, what, your 10th guy? Maybe your 11th guy? Or let's give him 10th man, let's say. And that guy's coming in off the bench and giving you 12? It's another reason why not to flip that dude. So we had some Celtics and Bruins here. Latest on the Patriots OC search is that 5 interviews are conducted. I don't know if the Patriots are going to do any more. So does a deal get done with Bill O'Brien as expected very quickly? And Gerard Mayo was sitting in on the interviews. Take that for what you will.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Say it right. Can Billy ever say anything right? It's hilarious when he can't say it right. But we get to laugh when Billy doesn't say it right. So don't say it right.
Apologies to Mark McGoffin. I can't even say it. See?
Why? That should be what we're doing.
Bruins made a call up from Providence.
This is Billy at his first shine moment. The Twitchers, by the way, absolutely loved it. Guy from the 207, Big Thunder is losing it. John in the car. Billy makes fun of himself, and it's gold. WEEI MVP. People said I was going Charlie Steiner because I legitimately did lose it. Patriots NFL won. Shime once said David Ortiz. Don't worry about it, Billy. He also had Dick Prescott and ALC ass as well, which Wiggy was going to use at Dossiers on a good baseball weekend, but it never came to fruition. So that was really, I'll tell you what, though, in all seriousness, because one of the things that we discussed before the new show started was Billy was going to do trending. And he openly said, hey, listen, I'm like the kid in class that when he reads and starts to, you know, it starts to like mess up a word and then it just steamrolls. Yeah. But the best part of that was I'm like Melvin Mora. One leads to another. It's just such a funny ass line.
It's just the memory of that guy that I have when he played for Baltimore. If you hit it hard down the third baseline and he booted it, you're gonna get a couple more out of him.
It was awesome. What a great pull right there. So good job by the Landman and Terp on the other side as well, hitting us with the music. Are you already thinking of your Foyer Friday crap fest you're gonna bring our way again with this music?
I'm really disappointed with Turpin today.
What I do?
What did really Turp do?
What are you looking for? Just really disappointed. I thought you'd be more advanced by now. That's all.
Yeah.
Gresh has liked it. I've seen him nodding his head a couple times.
You're in his wheelhouse now.
He's 21 and he's on his 10th actual day on the job. Yeah. Your level of expectations are very high. Were you sitting and coaching him personally on your expectations? Or were you just expecting him to learn through osmosis like Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, I feel like Turp, I had you by my side. I said I would open my world to you. Didn't I say that?
You did.
Yeah, I said I'm going to open up my world to you. I want you to drive in for an hour and a half as I bitch and complain to everybody who drives
by. Yeah, I was just going to say, hopefully the audio gets in before 9:30 that he wants you to pull there, Terp. Fourier is also going through a bit of a
transition
as well in terms of the level of detail and get things in early. You've been very good. I've transitioned mighty fine. You have. You've done it. You know what? Athletes are adaptable. You are proving
Most of them are.
Right. The ones who don't render themselves unplayable and normally aren't in leagues, whichever given sport they're in. But no, you've been fantastic
with that. Jeez.
But we do get the occasional mid-segment. Hey, Terp, can you find me that squirrel talking on that commercial that they showed with the toilet paper two nights ago? If you can get that, that'd be great.
That's never going to change.
But you're even harnessing that a little bit.
The key for Terp is he needs to be two steps ahead of me.
Well, that's good tough. Luck that is with
tough. That. No. It just takes time. It just takes time.
He's like the age of one of your nine kids.
He's actually he would be
like the second oldest, right?
No, third.
Third oldest.
Yeah. 23, 21, about to be 22. Yeah, he'd be third. Yeah.
So you need to nurture him like he is one of your children. Well, I will
say this. My son ain't working. So I actually brought my son in here one time. I brought him to work. I was like, you're going to work for a week. It was back in the old building, the New Balance building.
Oh, when you can get away with that stuff.
Yeah, and I brought him in there, and he was like, he was so resistant to it. I remember one time I caught him, like, hiding underneath the desk. So, like, we couldn't see him. I was like, what are you doing?
You send him to a school where the nuns are cracking his fingies.
I was like, what are you doing? He couldn't wait. All he wanted to do was, like, go down to the cafeteria because the other building had that unbelievable cafeteria. I mean, you name it, they had it available to you. Like, you talk breakfast, lunches. Here we have, like, a stupid vending machine that actually, like, I've never used in my life. Or, like, candy that you can buy. That's it. Those are your only options.
Right.
At the old building, you had breakfast. They had, like, an omelet bar. You had omelet station.
Omelet station.
It felt like a college dorm. Like, you go there, but, like, a nice one. Like, a nice one where, like, all the food. Like you can get sandwiches. You can get fresh meals, fresh breakfasts. Coffee was great.
No wonder why at that time everybody here was so heavy.
Yeah, I was fat.
And now you're bringing in your own coffee maker.
I know. That
times
lasted,
have changed.
That lasted a day because it was way too much of a pain. Too much work. I should make Turpin make the coffee every day.
Oh.
I don't know if I have time for that.
That is very.
Turp. Hey, give me
it's not
coffee.
Like he drinks it. I can see if he drank a glass of it, then a cup of it.
Okay.
Coffee's on me. No.
So, yeah. Turp, does coffee not coffee. Exist for you?
Like, no, I don't drink any coffee.
And Billy doesn't drink it either, I think.
No, Billy drinks coffee.
One cup a day. Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Me too, on the whole. One, I try to limit it
to get me going.
Exactly right. Early, especially for me on Monday mornings. Good Lord.
I feel like kids.
I need like high test.
Nowadays, like start drinking coffee. If my parents drink coffee, I didn't have a sip of coffee till I was in the pros. Not until I was in the pros did I actually, like third or maybe fifth year in the pros, finally I was like, I guess I should be drinking coffee because those late night meetings during camp. That was the only reason why I started drinking. But back then, like I never drank it in college, never drank it like ever, didn't drink it as a kid. Kids drink coffee on the East Coast at like age 10. They want coffees.
They want this.
They want their Dunkin'. They want their Starbucks. And I'm like, dude, I want a coffee.
My pap on my mom's side. So my mom's dad, he was a good two pots of coffee a day. It's pretty much all he drank. Just hammered it all the time. He liked a little bit of coffee with his cream and sugar. He was one of those guys.
See, I was amazed that when we had Bill on the show that he doesn't drink coffee.
Bill Belichick, you mean?
Doesn't drink coffee, doesn't like the smell of it. Like his grandma, he tasted it when he was a kid.
Doesn't like the
and
smell
I, 'cause
of
my,
it.
My thing was... Ooh. If you're an NFL coach, there's only late nights, long nights.
Right.
So my question was like, hey, like, what do you do to stay up? So you either dip, okay, a lot of them would dip. I don't know how many coaches do that still. I feel like it's not as much as it used to be. Or you drink coffee. That's really the only two vices.
Who was that Turner, O-line coach down in Miami who was ripping rails and talking to hookers and stuff
that's right. That was Miami.
That's another way. Yeah, that's another way to stay up. Have your O-line coach ripping a line
that's
and
right.
going, special teams is next. Yeah. I got to go.
That's right. We got to find that story because that was the extreme. That's a true story. Like, he was, like, legit, like, a drug addict, like, doing coke and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Maybe he just needed an escape from, like, breaking down, like, the L1 and the R1. You know, maybe he wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, but Bill doesn't drink coffee.
Can't stand the smell of coffee.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. I was like, well, I mean, he just stays up. I don't understand how he does it. Every single coach I've ever met has always had some sort of stimulus
like
that they use. Either it's dip, either they're dipping or they're drinking coffee. I had some coaches, they would smoke and they would drink coffee.
Sorry, I had the wrong guy. What a wrong turn. Chris Forster was the guy.
From Miami. It was
yeah,
Dolphins.
Yeah. I had the
what was his this guy was nuts. Lost his entire family, lost everybody because he was hooked on cocaine.
Said he was introduced to cocaine in 2015, and according to a story here from TMZ. By the way, they released the video of him snorting it on his desk.
He sent it to some... Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So he was taking this video and sending it to this prostitute, and the prostitute outed him.
Yeah, that's right. He said he was using it for like 8 or 9 days straight or whatever.
Look at me. I'm thinking of you.
So that guy could stay up.
Oh my God. Maybe Bill's a tea guy.
I don't know. If you're not a coffee guy, I think tea is bleh.
Nah, either tea, maybe way. He's like, I can live with it.
I'm only drinking tea with honey, like if I'm sick.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like I can't talk. I'm losing my voice.
One of those deals?
That to me is probably, out of all the things that Bill does, that to me stands out the most.
No coffee.
Imagine back when he was in the 70s when they had to do the old school, like, film. Like, it was like you put it on the projector.
Oh, when you put it on the reel.
And
reel
you had to sit there, and he would have to break down film for, like, 50 hours or something? Crazy number. And he didn't. He had no stimulus other than his just only desire to be great. That was his stimulus. His desire to prove people wrong.
All just football nerdness just going through his head.
Going crazy. Yep. His mind was going like crazy. Like, he couldn't sleep. So he had to stay up.
I don't like coffee.
Doesn't like coffee.
That's pretty amazing.
I just feel like that. That's crazy.
Here's the other thing, too. If he doesn't like the smell of it, if you're a coach, you can't bring it into a meeting.
But that's the other thing. Everybody else drinks coffee.
Right. So you either have to cap it and hope he doesn't smell it, or you can't bring it into
conference room. So how many people are in like a team meeting just with coaches? I mean, there's a lot in there.
Yep.
At least 25. I'm going to say 25.
If you have a full staff meeting, that would include the junior assistants and then the analysts and stuff
everybody.
You're
the
right.
Matt Patricia's 20, up. At 25 least 25.
Yeah.
They're all drinking coffee.
Yep.
You're right. So they can't come in with no cap on it. He's probably gives you stink eye and stares at you, and he probably makes you feel like an idiot, and you only take the little thing off when you drink it, and you go... Put it back on real quick. So the smell doesn't escape the lid.
You're better walking in there with a giant lipper packed in with a spit cup than you probably are walking in with coffee.
Because I don't think that doesn't smell to me. It's disgusting when I see it.
Oh,
but it doesn't.
It smells wonderful.
Oh, I hate it.
No, every time it's I still smell it, I get that craving. I'm just like, okay, I gotta get away from this.
That's right, because you can't do it anymore.
Because and it'd be off to the races again, and I used to do the upper tank, the whole nine. I already beat that. I'm done. I'm good. I'm just...
In an effort to feel, to be cool back in my day when I wasn't, because I couldn't do it, they had these knockoff versions, like the candy cigarettes, like the kids used to have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was like bacon or something like that. It was like
bacon.
Weird.
Bacon-flavored candy cigarettes. They're my favorite.
Yeah, but it was like dip. So and they were in a pouch. So you would do the pouch dip.
Those are called Skull Bandits.
Is that what it's called?
They're called Bandits, yes.
Oh, my God.
In the pouch.
Unbelievable.
Those are much easier to deal with depending on, like, if you're in class or something and you're worried about it, because you can just go swoop, scoop it right out, dirt, chuck it away. Nobody sees it. There's nothing left behind unless you bite down on the thing, and then there's a real problem. Let me ask you this. Whenever team building goes on in the NFL, normally there's a team in everyone's division or conference that they say, we got to build it to beat them. The New England Patriots, for a long period of time, was that team. Got to build a team to be able to beat the Patriots. Well, if you're Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo and the assembled geniuses down there, and you're getting ready to build the 2023 Patriots, who are you building it to beat? Is it Kansas City? Is it Cincinnati? Is it Buffalo? Is there that big a difference between those three? Is the blueprint the same? So if you're Bill Belichick and you're thinking, who are the teams we got to beat? That's a pretty healthy group in front of you. But how do you go about getting to that point to be able to beat all three of them?
See, that's interesting, because just off instinct, I say start with your division. Win your division. That if you win your division, if you're the best in the division, all right, well, you'll take your chances, you know, during the playoffs against other teams that are not in your division. But even with that, I feel like you need to think about it more from like a 30,000-foot view. So what are the trends telling you that is going on right now? To me, it's been obvious based on the old-school Ted Johnson, Lavon Kirkland linebacker doesn't exist.
They gone.
That big meathead, run downhill, take on guards, take on fullbacks. You don't need him anymore. There's maybe two or three teams that even have a fullback. Most of those ISO blocks are done by tight ends who don't want to block. So it's never as successful, you know. Or you scout and you draft to it and you do what, Baltimore does with their guys, or what Tennessee does with their guys. But the league is turning to a more spread out hybrid. So your old school strong safety is now your hybrid linebacker.
So Rodney Harrison in today's game,
yeah, he's a linebacker,
would play in the box.
He's a weak side. He would be a he would be a Will linebacker.
Okay.
Sam is front side, Mike's in the middle. Will is your we're nerding out right now, but that's fine. Is your weak side linebacker. So he would come down and he would play that weak side. But I even see some of those guys, they play the front side now. They play the Sam backer because they want to be able to cover the tight end or the back, and they need to be in there inside the box, not outside the tackle box, inside of it, right?
Yes.
Because they're going to have support coming in outside. So that is the trend. You can't get away with not having big, beefy guys, right? So you have to have at least your three, you know, fat dudes in the middle. I don't think you can get by with having skinny guys like that.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it feels like a lot of defenses, because they've got to play more nickel, are now going back to the three down front the way Bill played it when you first came here.
Yeah.
Right?
So
where it was a fat in the middle.
And then two and linebacker then types with two in the middle.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think of Will Fork, Warren, and Seymour, if you had those three guys right now, you'd have a pretty good start on. And then, you know, Willie was a part of that. Willie was kind of one of those stand-up defensive ends, can put his hand down or whatever. It feels like, at least from a front standpoint, I mean, the linebacking part has changed, but in terms of the three down front, there's those interchangeable outside linebackers, defensive ends, where there's where you really got to find the right guys, because your interior defensive tackles will change a little bit, but on the whole, they're there to gobble up people to try to slow down the run.
Yeah, so I almost feel you mentioned dime and nickel, or nickel and dime, depending, whatever. But that's more of a consistent presence than your normal,
yep,
just defensive front with your linebackers, your two safety, one strong, one's free. The strong safety is the run-stopping guy, always plays to the tight end side. You know, then your two corners, traditional defensive front. Now there's more hybrids and corners just because you have to be able to cover, like, you know, the good teams with all the weapons.
Athletes,
right? So how,
like,
tough
Kyle
is it?
Pitts. Like, if you're dealing with a Kyle Pitts type tight end, you might not be able to put a safety on him. You might have to have one linebacker that can match up to not get overwhelmed by him in the run game in the event they ask him to block, or have someone with some size that you hope can run with the guy.
See, I thought it was interesting years ago. I was able to talk to Bill about Gronkowski, and we were just having a debate, and sure enough, Bill walks by. I was like, hey, what type, like, how do you cover, like, a Gronkowski? Like, what type of, is it a linebacker or is it a strong safety? And he was basically like, you really need another Gronkowski that plays defense, because the little, you just, now he's a unicorn to an extent.
Oh, no, you need a unicorn on defense. So somebody maybe like a Shaq Leonard from Indianapolis,
Jamie
might be
Collins
able to hang with him, right?
Was that type
there
of guy.
You go. Yeah, yeah.
But even when he had an opportunity, when the Patriots played against the Broncos, he got beat by, I don't know, on a double move, like twice in a row. I forgot who the tight end was. Beat him twice for touchdowns in the AFC Championship game before the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning went to the Super Bowl. But anyways, the point is that where is it going? How do you build your roster? Find as many athletes as possible to cover on defense.
I'll tell you what I think we are going to see this draft season, because again, everybody goes nuts over the skill guys. I get it. Teams are going to invest more in the line of scrimmage than ever before. Look at Cincinnati. They're still finding a way to coach around it, but their defensive line is very underrated there. And look at Philadelphia right now. Arguably number one in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Easily.
And I know.
By a large margin.
That, and you even said it. Again, people accuse me, oh, you're a lineman, of course you're going to push for the bigs. No. Former NFL tight end Christian Fourier said last week, when we start talking about this offense and getting it right, like, number one need is a number one receiver or a tackle. If you can't block, you can't run your offense. And that's where the Patriots have to get to, just to then figure out what they're going to do. And I think there are going to be a lot of teams, because if you look, arguably the biggest reason why teams underachieved is because their lines of scrimmage weren't good enough. And I'm fully expecting teams to attack that this offseason.
And the only way to combat that, like the get out of jail free card, is to have a guy like Joe Burrow. Like, okay, then how many guys have him? You know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, good luck.
Right.
Good luck hitting the lottery with those guys. They just don't exist. And that's why those guys will be running this conference, the AFC conference, those two guys, for the next 10 years. Easily.
I know that we can get into Joe Burrow, and maybe we can wait until the final hour to get to that. But I want to ask Christian Fourier what it is like for an NFL to be on an NFL team when you have a disappointing loss in the playoffs. How does it work in terms of, like, do you kind of know there are going to be changes? Like, if you're in the Dallas locker room today, are you talking amongst yourselves as players, man, Jerry might fire this head coach? We'll take you inside the locker room next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
I don't know if this is technically your five-minute football nerd, but I do think there is a worthy discussion here because, well, four teams are heading home. And if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Football Giants, Fourier, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys, you hit the divisional round once again and then went kaput. Now, I know in the year of our Lord 2005, after two Super Bowl championships, Christian Fourier, you were on a team that went to Denver and, well, didn't exactly live up to expectations. And I know you've been in other locker rooms. You were in Carolina. You're in Seattle as well. So day after the end of a regular season where you miss the playoffs, is that kind of standard operating procedure for players versus where if you're on the Buffalo Bills or the Dallas Cowboys today, is your antenna or anxiety up a little bit because you were a part of a season that many people view as fell short?
Well, I would say end of the season, regular season, honest to God, I just wanted to get the hell out of there. I was like, okay, there was a couple times we had away games and we knew we were gone. We would bring our stuff and sneak it onto the plane and then wouldn't even fly back with the team. We would just take it, hop in a cab, and like do our exit physical and then be like, later, we see in like 3 months. That's if you weren't hurt. But like when it comes to like losing game, like think about the Bills. The narrative is starting to change on the Bills now in real time, as opposed to what you were doing, what they were doing last year to what they are now.
Love it.
It almost feels like, here we go again, same old Bills. And suddenly like Josh Allen is not the solution. He's now the problem. It's just so quick. Like, nobody just believes in you anymore. It's amazing how it happens. Like, you got the guy's like the talk of the town. He's the second coming of Jesus Christ, and sure as hell he can't get to the Super Bowl. So you sit there and go, I'm looking at, oh, are they really going to build a new stadium for this team? They can't get out of their own way. They still can't do it. So there's a lot of regret, I think, for the Bills, and I guess anxiety based on what the narrative's going to be. And then you're going to have to live with that narrative all the way to August.
Okay, but
when
if
the
you're,
season starts.
So let's flip it. If you're a Cowboys player, is your anxiety, oh my God, somebody else might be running this thing next year? Or do you even not think about
that?
Well,
what's my contract? If I'm protected by my contract, I don't care.
Right.
If I'm like, I had a situation where Dennis Erickson was fired and I was a free agent at the same time. And then sure as heck, they hired Holmgren. So the whole time I'm sitting there going, is he going to want me back? What's it going to be like? Like, should I sell my house? You know, listen, they ended up resigning me, so it wasn't a big deal. But I don't think Buffalo's in that situation.
Dallas feels like
Dallas
there's more
does.
Anxiety there because they got running backs walking out the door. Their head coach is a boob. Jerry Jones he wrote it out forever with Jason Garrett, the Carrot. Does he look at Mike McCarthy and be like, nope, you got to go. I got to bring in. I got to trade the pick and get Sean Payton.
Sometimes I sit there and I wonder, at some point in time, do the players go, it's never going to happen? Like, when do you, when do you sit there and go, man, we had the perfect situation and we still couldn't win? Like, what is it? Are they doing a massive autopsy right now? Like, are they sitting there? Are they self-reflecting? The team's doing an autopsy. That's what they're doing.
No doubt.
They're peeling down every layer. They're looking into everything. They're pulling out your guts and trying to feel like, okay, what's the problem? What do you think Jerry Jones is doing? You know, he did this whole interview before the game, And he was talking about, he's like, hey, well, you know, you hear, if you hear some screaming late at night, that's me screaming into my pillow because I can't get back to the Super Bowl. So he actively talks about it. He almost like, I almost feel like he jinxes himself because he so publicly addresses the fact that he just can't, he's just doing everything in his power to get back, but he can't. Like, they can't get back. So in that regard, and I don't believe Jerry Jones for a second.
Wait, even if you played on, if you played for him, you wouldn't believe him.
If
you were on that team right now, would you take him at his word that McCarthy's job is not in jeopardy?
If something better walked by him, I think he would break his neck turning to look at it. And if that could be Sean Payton. I mean, if you look at, I think at this point in time, you're looking at teams that could be, that could do better with somebody else. We have reached our ceiling with Mike McCarthy. We've reached our ceiling with
Dak Prescott.
Well, I would say another coach, Staley. And,
Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley.
Right.
Okay. And you would sit there and go, like teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they feel great.
Same
they
thing happened to Bill O'Brien in Houston.
Yeah, they can't
hit a ceiling, and that was it.
That's it. Like
the Jacksonville round is gone.
Very sickening.
You would say like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they can't wait to get back to work.
Oh God.
They're excited.
Yep.
See, what's another team that kind of
The Giants, and I know the
Giants
got the decision
are another team. Nope.
That's let's go.
We're ahead.
Yep.
We are ahead of the game. We're not gonna freak out. We're on our way. Now they have some decisions to make too with Saquon Barkley and others. You know, Daniel Jones, their quarterback, but they feel great about their position. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs.
I saw this on Twitter, so I admit I'm stealing it from someone out there. Here's a little theory for you. Is Dak Prescott Southern Kirk Cousins?
Southern Kirk Cousins. Oh, man.
I think it's a great analogy.
It is. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of those guys. Like, there's got to be more of those guys that are so, like, great regular season record. Lots of money, getting paid, lots of success, personal success, doing lots of commercials, but they can never, like Tony Romo.
Good, not great.
Tony Romo. Wasn't Tony Romo like
another
Kirk Cousins
one of those
before
guys.
Kirk Cousins?
Very much so.
I feel like there's always a ton of those guys that they're good, but they get paid like they're great, but they never quite do it. I'm seeing reports right now on Josh Allen. Like the reason Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are not advancing, if you go back to the last 4 years, because he's overrated. Like, suddenly Josh Allen is overrated, and the quarterbacks that he's going against outplay him. Joe Burrow outplayed him. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he did outplay you. He got the final score with Travis Kelce, and they went to the Super Bowl. The year before that, it was I think it was Mahomes also. So you could sit there and look at the Buffalo Bills and say, you know what, the problem is that quarterback. We need to bring him back. We need to bring Brian Daboll back because he's overrated.
Well, it's what I said about Dak Prescott. He needs more people around him. Those guys that hit the ceiling, it's like, how do I make them better? I don't know if I can make them individually better, so can I put better people around them?
Well, when does Josh Allen turn into Dak Prescott? When does that narrative change to him being Dak Prescott? I mean, he's getting paid like a superstar. He's playing in these superstar games against other superstars, and they're outplaying him.
Because I think Dak Prescott is a part of the problem because Jerry Jones has overrated him. I think Josh Allen is good, but what you're asking him to do is be Superman good. And that's where, against good teams in the playoffs, that stuff can kind of run out.
I know,
out.
But what is the difference between the Kansas City Chiefs asking Patrick Mahomes to be Superman, Cincinnati asking Joe Burrow to be Superman? I don't feel like there's any difference. Like, he's just, to me, he looks like he's
arm
turning
talent.
Back into Wyoming, I throw it into team meetings, Josh Allen.
Well, this is where Josh Allen, the athlete, needs to meet Josh Allen, the quarterback, and maybe that's the difference.
Maybe have a conversation.
But the other two guys, you know what, they should. But the other two guys you mentioned, they're true quarterbacks at heart. They anticipate, they throw with accuracy. With Josh Allen, a lot of his plays are some of the superhuman stuff. I can throw it 75 yards and let my guy run underneath of it versus let me dink and dunk and be precise and get down the field with 2 minutes to go and no timeouts.
Well, like, the question is going to start with Josh Allen. When are you going to win something?
No doubt. It's already
going to win something. Like, and enough's enough.
Fair.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow's ahead of him. Patrick Mahomes is obviously ahead of him. And Trevor Lawrence is catching up.
Catching up? No doubt. 617-779-7937. We get into the final hour. We'll continue talking football with you, but pretty rough winter weekend for the Red Sox. You'll hear all that went down next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.